Shir and Sichais Horan. Bein Azal saying, Seif Reish Lamed Gimel, paragraph 233. Bein Azal says that first he heard from one of the Bein Azal's Tamidim about the discussion that Bein Azal had when he spoke of clothing. Clothing is not a luxury. Clothing is a necessity. Some people make the luxury of it. They go all out to extreme expense, buying expensive clothes and following the styles, and discarding clothes that are still wearable, still usable, just because they have become outmoded. Which of course means that they're following those styles in a sense of Einazal says also that following the styles is also following the customs of the Goyim, especially since we know that money of a Jew is very precious, very valuable. Yaakov Avinu was very particular in smallest amounts, smallest bits to see that money was not wasted whatsoever. Even a tiny amount for small dishes, small pots and pans that were worth pennies, Yaakov Avinu risked his life because Jewish money is so precious. So that, therefore, if a person is willing to throw out an entire wardrobe of clothes because it's no longer in style, he's destroying money of a Jew that is precious. Of course, that's committing a serious crime. Unless he's gotten to the point where these clothes are so much out of style that it would be embarrassing to wear them. However, one thing never goes out of style, and that is the original customary clothes of the religious Jew. Long black coat, big felt hats. That type of clothing is one that is everlasting. Years, generations back, and for all time to come, apparently. That's the regular garb of a religious Jew in all countries where Jews maintained their custom to wear their own type of clothes. And this is that important. If we do not wear the wrong type of garments, the special type of clothes that these very religious Jews wear, at least we have to recognize their greatness in doing so. Because the Gemara says that one of the reasons the Jews were zeched to be released from bondage from Egypt, one of the zechuyos they had was the fact they did not change their clothes. Living in Egypt, a place where they also had styles, regular modes of dress, the Jews never changed the style of their clothes. Their ritualistic type of attire was adhered to throughout all the years of their slavery and exile in Egypt. They never tried to assimilate wearing the clothes of the Goyim and let themselves stand out as a Jew. Look at my clothes, tells that I'm a Jew. Same as wearing a yellow band, Chas V'Shalom. But they weren't ashamed of the fact that they were wearing the customary clothes that brand a person as a Jew. We're proud of it. But the fact is that clothing therefore falls into two categories. Clothing is either a luxury, one who goes very far out and increasing his wardrobe to extraordinary dimensions, or it's a necessity. A person must have clothes to wear. We find the evil as a luxury, as we mentioned previously about this Pesel Levigdai. The Pasuk says that the Satan about Dover, he tries to get a Jew to commit wrong and he can't, he gets him in his clothing. He finds a way to get him by wearing clothes that would take him away from the religious circle, Chas V'Shalom. But here, we're discussing in this case clothing that is of necessity. Every person must have clothes. The poorest person, too, cannot go out without clothes. If it's a cold winter day, a person must have a coat. If a person is a pauper, he goes out with a coat that's shredded, some tatters. He still must have that coat. So, in all cases, clothing is a necessity. And to a person who is wealthy, that necessity is not a problem. But there are some people who are that poor, they cannot afford clothes. To them, it's a big problem. Even the medium class sometimes, if you have a large family, and no matter how careful you are of clothes, a person has a large family of children, these children tear the clothes, as no matter how well they take care of it, either tear them or they outgrow them. So they need a new outfit. Needs a new outfit for an entire family. This is a tremendous expense. A person cannot afford it. What is he supposed to do? He cannot afford the expense of buying clothes, outfitting his whole family for a Yom Tov, as is customary, or in general, the child needs a new coat, a used coat even, but to him it's an expense. Benedict says that for everything that a person needs, everything a person needs, he should turn to Hashem with tefillah. You need a new coat for yourself, for your wife, for your children, turn to Hashem in his bedness and say, Hashem, cry before Hashem, Hashem, I need new clothing. I need money for clothing, and I'm turning to the correct source. All Shefa comes from Hashem. But the point that Ben Zal brought out here is, it would seem to us that it's sort of embarrassing to have a suit, and it's expensive, so where do I go to instead of going to my bank account? Or instead of going to the personal finance company, or instead of going to a rich uncle, or to the wife's savings, turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I need a coat. You turn to Hashem when you say, Hashem, I'm not good. I'm not a tzaddik. I didn't follow your mitzvahs right. You cry before Hashem to be forgiven. You cry before Hashem that Hashem bring you closer to Him. Hashem be mekad of you, yizrecha to avedis Hashem. Cry before Hashem, that Hashem bless you to be able to serve Hashem in a much better vein, with much more kavana, more intensity. But to come before Hashem on a petty item like clothes, even food we can understand. Food is that much of a necessity of a person starving. Naturally you cry to Hashem, but a new suit? Benedict said, yes, anything at all that a person lacks, he is supposed to turn to Hashem and daven for it. Now, you would say there are people who don't daven to Hashem, and they still get it. Without davening, they go clothed, they wear suits, nice garments, their families go dressed nicely. And we're speaking even about religious people, religious Jews, who don't steal the money. They earn the money in a proper manner, in a kosher fashion. They give meiser on it. They go out and buy a suit. Now, the fact is, they got it without davening, Hashem, give me a suit. And then it says, those people are getting the suit, they're getting the clothes, but they're getting it the same as an animal gets his food. The animal doesn't daven. The animal goes out and searches for food. And the pasuk says, Nisim lebehem alachma. Hashem gives each animal its necessary amount of nourishment each day. Hashem feeds all living things each day. Somehow you find that all animals are fed. You don't see animals dying in the streets or in the forests and the jungles from starvation. Every animal, every reptile, every worm, gets his nourishment daily from Hashem. There's a big difference between the way an animal gets its nourishment and the way a human who davens to Hashem for panasa, food each day gets it. So a person who does not daven for clothing, that person will be given clothing. But the same as an animal. You are a behema, an animal, you don't daven for it, Hashem provides it anyhow. But remember that you've lowered yourself, degraded yourself to a point of a category of behema, animal. Whereas, if you rise as you should, as a person, as a human, a Jew who davens to Hashem, you get the clothing in a different category. You get the clothing because you are of a higher stature, much higher level. You are Odom, Ben Odom, who is zecher to get everything through a holy source of Shefa. One that is earned. It's not a shame in receiving it. Getting something for nothing is embarrassing. The fact that you're given something without davening, without asking for it, it's like getting it for nothing. Daven for it and ask Hashem for everything. This is what the Muslims all heard from someone else. Tosfos Zohar says later on, after he spoke to Rabbeinu Zohar mentioned this too. Tosfos Zohar spoke about a certain small item that he needed. He said this was, it was a very tiny item, like a pair of shoes. Tosfos Zohar was in need of this tiny item. Rabbeinu Zohar said to the Tosfos Zohar, "Daven to Hashem about this." Tosfos Zohar stood there, astounded. "Daven to Hashem? How do you daven to Hashem for a small item like a pair of shoes? How is that possible?" Rabbeinu Zohar very wisely said, "What's the matter? It's not fit for your great honor. You don't want to lower yourself to daven to Hashem, Chas V'Shalom." Which was a hint saying that no matter how small it is, you must turn to Hashem. Every single item, ashrei to that person who is zecher that whatever he gets through tefillah. Because everything becomes an item of kedusha then. Earned through davening becomes an item of purity. The physical item becomes spiritual, becomes ruchnius, becomes kedusha. This was a lesson that Rabbeinu Zohar taught then. The person should accustom himself, get used to the idea. You have his bedidus, you speak to Hashem, in his bedidus, you pour out your heart. "Hashem, I'm in a lot of trouble. I did things that are wrong. My mind, I have bad thoughts, Chas V'Shalom. I speak wrong. My time is spent wrong. I do things that are wrong. I don't serve you right. Help me to serve you right." But that's not the end of his bitterness. "Hashem, now I have a list of problems to present to you. List of problems. I have to get a set of nails. I have a hammer. I need a few nails. I ran short of nails. Provide me with the necessity. Has to cost about 2 or 3 cents. That too. You're embarrassed to ask for it? Chas V'Shalom. That shows that everything you do, you mekasher yourself. You attach yourself to Hashem. No matter how large or how small the item is. There are lahavdil companies that say, no item too big or too small for us to handle. Oshikin shuli in heaven. Hashem handles everything. You prove that there is ashkocha proti. Hashem supervises and sees all, the largest to the biggest. And you never can tell. A person by davening for a very tiny item might create a chain reaction. That tiny item would lead to a tremendous amount of shefa. You never know when. The person who accustoms himself to that kind of a tefillah, ashrei to that person, because he lives in serving Hashem. His whole life, even the gashmius, is one long process of avodas Hashem. Ben Adal said that in reference to his bedidus itself, he gave his chaskus. Chaskus means encouragement to those who have his bedidus. Of course, again, we said you daven for everything, but we cannot get away from the fact that primarily the purpose of his bedidus is to come closer and closer to Hashem. What's meant by coming closer? Let's take it on a higher scale. A person has a hasoga. He reaches a certain conception of serving Hashem. His conception is that he thinks about Hashem more often. A great tzaddik, or a great tzaddik, never allows the thought of Hashem to leave his mind for a moment. There's a pasuk, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. I consider always in front of my eyes the thought, the knowledge that Hashem is in front of me. I never let that thought escape me. It's always in front of my eyes. Stories about the Baal Shem Tov who was asked if he could read minds, and one great tzaddik who doubted it was skeptical about it, came to Baal Shem Tov. So he said, "Can you tell me what I have in my mind right now?" Baal Shem Tov said, "Yes, you have your mind, the name of Hashem." So he said, "That's no mind reading, of course. I always have that. Any Jew is supposed to have the name of Hashem. Shivisi Hashem." Baal Shem Tov said, "Yes, but the name of Hashem comes in different forms. I'll tell you exactly what form, what sidufim, you have in your mind." This is where he won over the person. And we do see that the great tzaddikim fulfilled that pasuk completely. There are different ways of serving Hashem, and different levels a person can reach. This is called going the Dadago Ladaga, from step, higher and higher up. A person reaches the degree of Navi, prophet. it can actually visit the upper heavens, the heavens of Olam HaYetzida, the heaven of angels, Alochim, that was seen by great tzaddikim. Tzaddikim actually saw angels. They spoke to angels besides Eliyahu Navi. They spoke to other angels. You find that in the Navi. Then there are great tzaddikim, greater ones, whose soul could visit the upper heavens. El Nabriya, one of Hashem. You see that the Riyah Kodesh visited heavens. He spoke about his visit to heaven, to the heavenly yeshivas. Still higher worlds. This is each one according to his madrega, his level. He reaches a higher and higher level. And this is the goal, the point of a person's business. Hashem, bring me closer to you. At a very low level now, my mind is very dull, very much migushan, very materialistic. I'd like to purify it, become more spiritual. A person davens constantly, he cries before Hashem, help me to become pure, help me to serve you better, closer. If he does this constantly, we'll find that he is rising. Actually, to a point, he becomes a tzaddik, to the one where these tzaddikim did. Benazal said, as a form of encouragement, that if a person sees that we're speaking now about one who is very sincere, one who is extremely diligent, he doesn't miss his hour of his prayers each day, in addition to the rest of the day when he learns and he davens. He really serves Hashem right. He has his prayers for hours, not 1 hour. He goes through day after day, devotes his time entirely, no business, no work, just studying Torah and davening before Hashem, putting his whole heart into it, pouring out rivers of tears to Hashem. Hashem, bring me closer to you. Karveni lavei desecha. Bring me close to your service. And this goes on for day after day. The days turn to weeks, the weeks to months, and the months to years. And he finds that after years, he is no better, he is no more advanced than he was the first day he started. He is discouraged. All this work, all this toil, all this effort put into getting close to Hashem, without any seeing any fruit, any light, after all this darkness, Benazal said, here is very important information, important words of Ischaskus. You should know. Know means this is absolute fact. This is Amuna Shlema B'Tachlis. Know that you do not see what is going on. The fact is that as you daven, you are rising, you are advancing, you are getting closer. But your eyes can see only in front of you. This is in some cases. You cannot see what you have accomplished. But you must know, you must believe and know, that you have accomplished not one single word of all your tefillahs, of his prayers, has been ignored or has gone lost. Every single word has accomplished, keeps accomplishing, keeps advancing you further and further. This is the same as a stream of water. As a stream falls, trickles along, this water falls on a stone. What effect does the drops of water have falling on a stone? They fall on the stone and just roll right off. But days go by, months go by, years go by, the fact is that these drops of water will penetrate the stone. They will bore a hole through a rock. Which rock are we speaking of? Speaking of a person's heart. A person's heart might be very hard. It's a lev ha'evan, a heart of stone. You cannot soften this heart. You really feel deeply. You feel emotionally a closeness to Kedusha, to Hashem. But with these words are streams like drops of water. Words of his brothers keep penetrating, falling upon his heart of stone. And they have an effect. They do have the effect that eventually it bores through this heart of stone. And from this lev ha'evan, it becomes formed a lev vosar, a heart of flesh, soft heart, a heart that is pure. There's nothing purer than a lev vosar. This lev vosar is the letters breast love. person is zuchet to become close to Hashem through these words of his Bittis, which do ultimately take effect. None of those words ever goes lost. Abinadol said, no, that in time, you will finally, ultimately see the fruit of your effort. A lot of time will go by, possibly years even. You will not see any results. The end will be that you will see results in your lifetime if you do not give up hope. You don't stop. You don't become discouraged and dejected and stop. Only a fool would stop because he hasn't seen results. Know that there are results. Know that there is an effect. Not one single word that you said is going lost. Every good desire you have, every time you approach Hashem with tefillah, is being recorded, is taking effect. And ultimately, you'll be zecher that it will bore a hole right through. And through this opening, you'll rise. You find yourself going up. And once the rise begins, it's accelerated and goes faster and faster. You find that Ben Azal was zecher, years of labor to reach a certain very high status, which was greater than any tzaddik in the world. Ben Azal testified to the fact that later on he could accomplish in minutes what took him 4 years to accomplish. And in seconds, the higher a person goes, the more quickly he advances afterwards. Therefore, the Ben Azal said that continue this midah of this Beididus, and you'll be assured of having this benefit that will last eternally. Ben Azal warned very strictly, this is an amazing point, very strictly against being machmir too much. He warned very sternly, very strongly against a person being too strict when it comes to Hebrew law, the din. What's wrong with being strict? An item is questionable whether it's kosher or not. The safest way for a really good Jew, religious Jew, right heart, and the right attitude is, there's the slightest question, there's a doubt. Some rabbis say it's kosher, some rabbis say it's questionable, some say it's very kosher. There's a doubt, well, we just won't take any chances. We'll eat something else, there's no problem. Or whether an item is permissible to an act as a missile to perform on Shabbos. Question of this, maybe done on Shabbos or not. There are some who say it is permissible, others say it's not. It's very easy to take the lenient way out. You look for some rabbi or some daya in Shulchan Aruch who says it's okay. Well, we can rely on that one and do it. On the other hand, a person wants to live a life of purity, to be sure, to be certain, they never went against any halacha. There's the slightest question of doubt, will take the chumrah, the sterner way, the stricter way. Follow the stricter opinion always. This is very good, very commendable. And there are many tzaddikim who held of this. I mentioned once about the Shiloh Kodesh, who said that life is short, pays for your entire life to always take the stricter viewpoint. You'll live as long as the next person. You'll enjoy life as much as the next person. You'll have as much food to eat as he does. But you'll know that your whole life was one of purity. There wasn't ever a case of performing an act that was doubtful. It was sanctioned by every single day in Shulchan Aruch. That's a very noble way of doing things. A very difficult way, too. There are many Paiskim who tend always towards the strictest side. Shulchan Aruch, you find different types of deists, ones who are more lenient and ones who are much more strict. The question is, what should a person do? He has to follow a din, what is he to do? It would appear to us, naturally, the greater the tzaddik, the more strict he would be. The bigger the tzaddik, he would say, be strict as can be. Anything that's doubtful, discard, remove, reject, only that which is positive, pure, unquestionably permissible. Anything else is forbidden. But Benazal's opinion was to the contrary. A person should be very careful to perform mitzvahs properly, see that he does not break a din, a law, but not to look for what is known as chumres yisedis, superfluous chumres. To be strict at in times where it's not called for. Don't try to be too strict. Don't try to go too far out in chumras. Follow the Shulchan Aruch normally. Take the middle path. A little better than the middle path, a little stricter, but not too far out. The reason being because Hashem did not give the Torah to Malachim, to angels. Angels can do things that humans cannot do. We are only human. A person is only human. So, for example, a person is, as we show, very sick. He's running a tremendous fever, temperature, 104, 105. He can barely walk. He can't speak even, but he has a mitzvah. Go to shul and daven. Therefore, when the yesedi says, I will not miss my shul, he gets up with 105 degrees and walks out in a daze, in a semi-coma. He goes to shul, he falls down exhausted, davens, goes back home, falls into bed, and perhaps becomes more seriously ill on his line. That's going into tremendous chumras. You're human. You're that sick, you're excused. Kamana patre. The Torah itself excuses you if you are that incapable, that ill. The Torah doesn't say you've got to do it regardless. Angels have to perform their missions regardless. Humans are only human. Of course, it's bad to go the other way too. A person who gets up in the morning and finds that he thought he heard himself sniffle once. That is already too... He wouldn't want to jeopardize his health because he's got to go to... It's on a Sunday, he has a ball game in the afternoon. He goes to shul in the morning, it might cause a second sniffle to follow the first. Therefore, he wouldn't take that risk, he'll stay home. Or anything else that would entails Kedusha, and it's... There's this question, possibly of health, might endanger his health slightly. So he's that careful about his health, and of course, too, is even worse, not the other extreme. It must be a case of moderation, a sensible case of moderation. Rabbeinu Zal did not say, don't take chumras, don't be machmir. He said, yes, be machmir. In case of doubt, take the stricter viewpoint, but not chumras yesedis, not don't go wild with these chumras. Don't go overboard with going too strictly. As an example, Ben Zohar quoted the Gemara, where there was a discussion among rabbis of the Gemara, and interestingly, one rabbi says to the other, "Ovicha avuch b'may zohar tfei." There are a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah. Tell me, what mitzvah did your father take especially to heart? What was he most careful on? To follow through with all details, strictest details. What one mitzvah? Now, why would a person ask a question like that? What one mitzvah? All mitzvahs are alike. Be strict, he followed all mitzvahs strictly. Ben Elul said the advice here is that a person is human, and therefore you're expected to follow the mitzvahs of the Torah moderately. However, it is good, it is advisable, each person should pick one mitzvah with which you should serve Hashem all details in the strictest possible manner. The Gemara, for instance, says there, one rabbi said, my father is strict with tefillin. Tefillin, he would never, ever say a word to anybody while wearing his tefillin. It's like he was davening Shemon Esrei. Wearing tefillin, that means he was bound to Hashem. He would never speak to a person while wearing tefillin. He wouldn't talk out. It's like he was after Baruch Hu. And there are people today who do that, which is one of the greatest, one of the best types of items to a person to adopt. The Kedusha of Tefillin is such, the Gemara speaks of that very strictly, a person should never be Masich Das, let his mind wander while wearing Tefillin. Your mind wanders, you're not attaching yourself to the mitzvah of Tefillin, to Hashem, the crown of Hashem. One said that he was strict in mitzvah tzitzis, so on, different mitzvahs, each one was particular about. Ben Adal said this shows that a person should adopt one mitzvah, in a sense, kaviyachal, like a pet. Special mitzvah, adopt this mitzvah, that this mitzvah will take care of it. All details. Everything else in moderation, but this one at least, no, he has one mitzvah that he follows through all the way. But even this one mitzvah that Ben Adal says, Don't become insane about it. People who do mitzvahs that go altogether wild, insanely wild over it, and perform the most foolish acts, the guise of considering it, this is being strict about the mitzvah. There are items that we don't want to speak about, mention details, but there are obvious items in certain cases or sects who do certain types of mitzvahs with too extreme, far too extreme. Menel said that this item of being too strict was one that he himself experienced once. He learned from self-experience how to avoid this. Therefore, he mocked those who went too far out. For example, there's one mitzvah which many people go to extremes. Extreme sometimes is good, but too far extremes. The case of Pesach. Being careful about chametz of Pesach, mashu chametz, there are some who scrub the walls down, they scrape the walls down, they paint their walls before Pesach, they put the covers on it, or they scrape an inch thick, inch deep, and they floors, and they dig up the floorboards, and do things that are very far out. Their intentions, of course, are pure, good. What are they worried about? They're worried about that tiny little mashu chametz. Avoid that mashu chametz. Again, of course, the person is not a malach. A person can do all this, still, there might be chas from a tiny dot, one little dot, a pinpoint of chametz. With all the scraping, you could escape them. You can spend an hour on 20 square feet of floor, on one tiny 1/1000th of an inch, which he overlooked by scraping over it. He missed that one part and the entire work was in vain. Of course, we know there is the union of bitul, person's mevatel chametz, so it's not his anymore. Still, a person cannot really be yetzer the mitzvah of bitul chametz by just bitul alone. So there are some people who are very strict about this union of worry about getting rid of that mashu chametz and pesach. It's not that simple, because the Rizal says that one who is very strict with that, he is zecher not to have a mashu chametz, he is zecher afterwards to go through the entire year without sins. Of course, we said that there are people who did take care of that mashu chametz, they rid themselves completely, and yet they weren't the complete perfect tzaddikim afterwards. The answer is that they were zecher that year to do some sins less. Reina Sal says to do, subtract one single sin is already a whole world is gained. Plus the fact to what we must say, that they thought they could rid themselves of the last Mashiach Chometz. They didn't fully succeed. They could have done still better. However, Reina Sal gives us an example himself when he was young. He began to meditate about this, to think about it, to ponder over it, and he said that one of the biggest problems is the fact that water, we have today, of course, sinks, modern plumbing, and so on. In those days, they had wells in which they drew water. Anybody who zechet to ride to Oman, notice that along the road, you see now, in this modern day and age, you have these small bungalow type of homes, farmhouses, that have the wells outside of the house. They don't have sinks. They still draw water from the wells. This is the way it was at that time, close to 200 years ago. The water came from a well. Now, how can you avoid feed, chicken feed, or other kind of slight grain, wheat or corn, that may fall into a well? When that falls into a well, it disintegrates, and you have tiny crumbs that might even be microscopic, where you couldn't see it at all. But you do have tiny crumbs, mashu chametz, in that water. You have to draw water for Pesach. You're going to use that for cooking, for washing, for drinking. What about that question, that danger, that risk, the mashu chametz in that water? This is what the Ben Azal thought about. He thought about it extensively, and thinking this over, he decided that there's no way that a person could escape this. Using water from a well, there's no way you can be assured of escaping this mashu chametz. or the possibility of Mashiach Chametz. There's only one way, and that is to get water from a flowing stream, a brook, fresh brook of water. There you know that people didn't pass by and drop chametz into it, or if it did, it was washed away. Let the water flow for a while, and you'll have clear, crystal clear water. But there's no brook near his home. This would entail having to leave his home and move to a place somewhere out in the woods and make Pesach there, where you would have this flowing brook. Leave your home for Pesach and go there because of the possibility, because of the chumda, maybe there might be a tiny drop of microscopic chametz in the well of water that might have got mixed up, even after sifting the water through. So far, the Devanas will go in this penetration, search for chumdas to be positive. Then he realized, he said this was his final decision, that these chumdas are chumdas yisedis. They are not necessary, they are not warranted. Person is supposed to do as much as he physically can. He is supposed to do the best that he can and no more. The requirement of a person is to fulfill the mitzvah as it is written. To fulfill it as much as is possible for himself. If it is impossible not to fulfill the mitzvah exactly, the Tanya says, Einis, if there is beyond his power, the Torah frees him, it exempts him. So if in the case of a well of water, you're that careful that you put the water through a sieve, a fine sieve, you tried your best, you see no chametz, you're not responsible any further than that. That's sufficient. A person should not seek out extreme chumras, these extreme difficulties that make life so difficult, rather to serve Hashem with simcha to the best of his ability and in moderation. Everything in moderation, slightly beyond the middle point. But it is interesting to note that Benazel had that degree of chesed, more towards chesed. We know that the tzaddik yisoid is in the center between chesed and din. But we see here that it tends more towards chesed than to din. In fact, the Benazel spoke more about not going into chumras, being more lenient. This showed the chesed of the tzaddikimus. Mosazal tells that one time there was a person who was very, very sick. Chmona Litzlan, this was an unusual case. This person was so sick, he was lying in bed, incapacitated, and he had such pains, especially his teeth, gums, were so infected that this went on for months of extreme torture. And his face became swollen, so swelled up that it was impossible to move, to eat, to speak. And with they had to use the greatest extreme methods, therapeutic methods, to remove all his teeth. The biggest doctor was summoned in to remove his teeth. Aside from this, the infection had spread to his inner organs, and he suffered pains throughout his entire body internally. It was to the point where it was impossible, humanly, to tolerate this degree of pain. This went on for months and for years. Benazal spoke about this person. It's very pitiful, it's very sad, but there is a lesson to be learned from this. Side item. Point of information. And then I said, look at this person, study, see all the yesudim, the suffering, the anguish, the agony, the bitterness that this person suffered for so many years. Now total up all of that torture he endured. Get the sum total of all his suffering, and then I says, I will reveal to you the fact that all his suffering, combined suffering for all those years, is not equal to one singe, a dot, a touch of Gehenna. The tortures of Gehenna are so great that 1 second, one touch of fire in Gehenna hurts more, greater torture to Chmona Litzlan than all this man's suffering combined. That's a very horrifying thought. person commits sins, the penalty is Gehenna. Gehenna for a period of time. Whatever period it is, a Rosh stays in Gehenna for 12 months. There are some staying in Gehenna for years. Some staying in Gehenna forever. Those who break the laws we discussed about Emunah. Those who have no Emunah in Hashem, Emunah in the fact that Torah is written by Hashem, or that, as the Muslims also says, Chiddush Sha'ilam. Other items that I mentioned as far as a person losing his part in Gan Eden, a person in state, Lidain, the Gemara says, this generation after generation, Rahman was mentioned. Try to conceive what's meant by this type of suffering, Rahman was saying. How is it possible for a person to go through something like this? And of course, a person does go through. The Gemara says, how is it possible? Well, in heaven, he's given that much strength and tolerance, he does not lose consciousness. He goes through this constant suffering of Chon Yetzilein. What is the key? The key is very simple. Don't do the wrong in the first place. You won't have the Gehenna later. But more important, the person did commit sins where he is doomed to go to Gehenna, not for a day or a week or a year, but forever. He is doomed to go to Gehenna forever. As long as he is still alive, he can have that completely erased and removed. Do not become despondent, dejected, and feel that all is lost. As long as a person is alive, he can turn back to Hashem, his place is Hashem, and I'm genuinely sorry. I want to come back to you. Forgive me for everything. Erase all my past deeds. Remove all danger of Gehenna. This a person can do by the simple expedient of tshuva. The gates of tshuva, the gates of heaven are always open. There is a helping hand outstretched constantly to accept the person. Certain times more than others, the time of days, Sadis Yimei Tshuva, of course, the gates of heaven are open still wider. But at all times, day and night, 7 days a week, 7 nights a week, every moment of existence of a person who wants to turn back to Hashem will find this hand outstretched, willing to accept him. The ikkar knowledge a person should have is these two things. Benedel says, know that you've got to be careful of the slightest type of sin. Avoid the smallest sin possible, because every sin is punished for it. Again, the Gemara says, cursed is that person who dares to say Hashem will overlook any sin, no matter how small it is. Cursed is that person, because Hashem does not overlook. The person comes to the heavenly court, he must pay for everything. There is judgment for every single action on the part of a person, be it action and deeds, in words or even in thought. Everything must be paid for. But just as much as there is an account to be given for everything, so too, person should not do the smallest sin. But even if he has done the worst sin in existence, that too should not make him lose hope. He should not fall to a point of despondency and say, all is lost, I cannot return, Chas V'Shalom. That sin of saying, all is lost, Yish, is a greater sin than the actual sin that he committed. The Yish is a worse sin than the Aveda itself. Yish means giving up hope. That's a worse crime and more punishable than even the sin he committed. He explained once that there's a Gehenna of fire for the sins he committed. A Gehenna of ice, which is worse, that's for giving up hope. A person can be called to turn back to Hashem. Benedel said, be careful of the smallest sin. If you committed the worst sin of all, do not give up hope. This can be corrected through tshuva, through tefillah, through tzedakah, through emunah. Emunah that Hashem wants to and will take you back. A person can be zecher through tefillah and espedidus, become the scatter to Hashem, not only to be taken back, but even to reach a point where even those sins he committed will not be erased, but be converted into mitzvahs. That big sin will now be classed as a mitzvah on his record. That's the koyach, the power of tshuva. Shuva may ahava. A person does it because of his deep emunah and love for Hashem. We should be zecher to this tefillah and this beis kedushas to the tzaddik emes. the tefillah, which we zeh to become closer to Hashem, be ivde Hashem, be emes, be yidur, be av, be lev of shalom, and our tefillah should affect the immediate Yeshua Kolius.